You're listening to the Major Pod Network, the only place where your favorite toy store, card shop, arcade, theme park, and arena are all on the same block. Scratch that major itch.
The following announcement has been paid for by the Major World Order.
Gain new fans, but fulfillment in a job. Like, I'm a teacher, and yeah. I have done multiple grade levels, almost 20 years doing it. I've never been in the same grade level more than 3 years. Just kind of like, you know, to connect to your wrestling, like a gimmick change. You know, things got to stay fresh and whatever. So, I mean, there are certain actors growing up. Tom Selleck, for me, when I was a kid, just that guy could walk in my room. I'd be like, you know what? He's my new dad now. sorry, Dad. I love you. But no, because he was so cool. Yeah. And then he kind of just went away, and now he does like TV and whatnot. Mark Harmon, oh my gosh, that guy was like my go-to. And I remember seeing him.
What's he been in?
He's been in, well, NCIS is Jethro Gibbs, which
He's
like everyone's daddy and granddad. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But for me, Summer School, and that classic for me helped me in teaching.
I love Summer School, dude.
So, you know, I turned 40 a couple of days ago, and I tell people, oh, well, what's your inspiration for teaching? I said, Summer School and a teacher that still teaches back home in Western Maryland named Mr. Burke. And they're like, what's a summer school? I'm like, okay.
So I'd be hanging out with Chainsaw and Dave.
I could judge people every time. And Kirstie Alley, man, I would judge people every time I say that, but kind of date myself. But no, I always look forward to seeing individuals who try new things. And I think that's the best mindset to approach with a movie like that. I mean, when you first told me it sounded like an FWF segment, to be honest with you, I was
right.
Like something, you know, broski or would do it. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. All right.
So this did like already kind of start off as like a pretty good conversation. So I did start hitting record. So we
I saw
have
that.
It going
yes.
on. So... For the part that people missed is we started talking about the new Adam Sandler movie, Spaceman. So, you know, description alone, people would probably think, oh, it's just another comedy. Not. So that's all I'll say if you decide you want to watch this so you don't walk in with maybe the wrong mindset.
Well, I was going to say for me, I know Billy, usually doesn't like to watch trailers because he likes to go in fresh to the movies. I do too for the most part, but I can't wait. I'm an impatient.
You like the
person.
Excitement of it. I get it.
I love getting hyped for it. Like, you know, that Deadpool Wolverine trailer I've watched like 20 million times already. But anyway,
yes.
I saw the Spaceman trailer before I even read a description or anything. Like, I just saw it advertised on YouTube. It just pops up for my trailer algorithm or whatever. And I you could tell from the trailer, it's going to be kind of a more serious, kind of depressing movie. But, you know, at the beginning, it kind of makes it feel a little more hopeful, like more of like an Adam Sandler movie, like maybe like a Punch Drunk Love or something like that. But from what I'm hearing from people, it's, you know, totally different from what any of us have, you know, thought. So I want to check it out.
So it may not be on the Major Pod playlist anytime soon. But to me, a go-to is Click. Click was one of those movies. I was in college, you know, when that came out, and I was like, oh. And then as a son, who my father, God bless him, still alive and whatnot, and I became a father myself. I have three children myself. That movie resonates with me.
Yeah,
so much, and I'm like, oh, okay. Like, because I'm being, like I mentioned earlier, being a teacher, I always look for themes and tones and what we're trying to gather, because then, you know, we can communicate messages to our own students. And that's a very underrated movie.
It's a depressing movie, too. That's a depressing movie.
Well, and that's one of those mixed ones that, like, it is.
It's funny.
A goofy ass movie where,
it's a good movie.
You know, he's got this remote that he gets from, you know,
Goosebumps episode.
Christopher Walken. He farts in why can't I think of people's names? David Hasselhoff's face Ozzy's on pause. Yeah. It's just so silly. But then like it gets a real serious tone.
It gets serious. It turns like, and you're like, what? Like it totally just changes. You're like,
in a way,
whoa.
In a way, it's like tied always back to wrestling. This is the teacher in me. When you tie things back together, it's like a match, right? Comes out hot. You have your spots. Then you kind of dive into the, hopefully we don't get sued here because Cody Rhodes, I feel like, has the story. But he has the story, and then you kind of build to the crescendo, and then eventually you close it out. And I'm just like a good novel or whatnot. But it's always nice, like when the Pod Boys started doing those movie clubs.
Yeah.
Like the first four or five movies, I was like, seen it. Yep. Don't listen to it. Don't want to collect that. You know, this is kind of like just nostalgia.
Oh, that's funny.
So, like, the 25th anniversary of Phantom Menace is coming up. I'm a huge Star Wars fan. I'm really hoping Mark and Broski can sneak that in May. And then the Star Wars talk will permeate the group. And then I'm like, oh, yes. Perfect. You know,
we got some figures coming out for that, too. They're doing, you know, the Anakin and the with the Padme and the Naboo outfit.
That's the stuff that Matt's been talking about that he wished they would put in the, I'm not a Star Wars guy. I only know enough of, you know, from the group and stuff with like the retro or the classic, whatever, the vintage style.
Yeah. Figures. The vintage
style. The original.
Yeah. They're starting to make the prequel figures in that.
Oh yeah. The retros. Yep.
Yeah.
I think those movies are kind of like a good, you know, like a match you didn't appreciate at the time. And I think Broski said it best. He said something along the lines of, you know, when those films came out, the people who were critiquing them were looking at it through the 77, 80, 83 point of view. Whereas all of us were similar in age. You gentlemen are a lot younger than me. I mean, you know, I saw Jake's post online there with his arms. I was like, Jesus, that's as big as my thigh. Oh, my God. Okay. So it's just, I thought about going sleeves. I was like, okay, nope, can't do that with Jake Broski in here. But I think it's like good appreciation over time. And I think everyone enjoys everything. And just kind of, if it's not your cup of tea, and then you know, I learned that from Shawnee Caulfield, you know, Major Mark. Shout out Shawnee. It's like, kinda, hey, it's cool if you don't like something. Just cordial and everyone has their opinion and go from there.
So. 100% agree with that because, I mean, we're at the end of the day, I mean, in one sense, we're all in this group because we love collecting and we love wrestling and we love action figures, whatever. But we're also all individuals. We're different people and it's okay to be different and like something or not like something. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. The thing that's wrong is judging someone and, you know what I mean? Like belittling someone or
name
being
calling.
Mean. All that for no reason.
I'm sure Mr. Billy Peck up there north of me there. It's kind of like the Full House the Brady Bunch.
We were just talking about Full House.
Totally aging myself here again. Sorry, boys. But I'm sure he's aged a few years being the commission, the group. I'm just
literally
like,
just had to remove comments for some.
I saw. I was like
unnecessary names and talking about. It's like,
Mr. Peck, I'm so sorry. You know, type
thing. Things aren't this big of a deal.
Like we all, I always call him Mr. I out of respect. But when Husfar messaged me, it was like 12:30 last night. You know, and he shoots me a message, and I'm like, oh, someone slid my DM. Sorry, I'm married. You know, type deal. Like,
oh, it's Hussy. I wait. Hold on, man.
Hold on. What's this? Well, you know, use my hall pass. And so I was half asleep, obviously, and then
damn, I'm sorry.
I knew you were a teacher too.
I was like, shit, no, I'm like, no, keep no worries. Class well,
my wife was getting sick, so I was downstairs, you know, and so I don't get sick. And long story short, I checked the message and I'm like, hey, is this legit? And I was like, this is going to be the most boring interview. Like, man. I am very quiet. My gimmick on the group is just I do the rock and roll sign after every one of my posts because I just enjoy talking to people and complimenting them and whatever. So, after like 10 minutes of like, is this legit? I was like, I'm going to respond. And then I did. He messaged back. And then for the next 2.5 hours, I was like so excited. I was like, oh, I got to get my setup and everything. And I was like, you know, the feature of me and whatnot. And then I got like 2 hours of sleep. So Wawa is sponsoring my interview tonight. So. No, you're fine. This is,
I feel bad.
I am a legend in my house. My son is so excited to listen to. He's like, oh my gosh, how do they know you? I was like, oh, they just, you know, picked me. I'm a collector. And he's like, Can I tell people? I was like, okay, sure. But I mean, I'm sure they would love the subscriptions.
We'll keep it, you know, a little more PG then. Yeah, you know, I don't, yeah, not that we like always go like
all those new listeners. You know, yeah, we do have a Pro Wrestling Tees store. Visit prowrestlingtees.com/majorworldorder and get your,
you know, let's put just a quick pin because, you know, you did say like, oh, you know, I'm going to be boring. And, you know, look, I,
not at all.
We haven't had many interactions.
Start off like, oh, I'm gonna be,
you know, I've in the group over the years. A lot of it's sports talk, which I assume we might get into. I'm not like that active in sports, so like there's not like a lot for me to comment on. But you know, it did make me go like, I don't know a lot about this person. It could be, you know, it's when we don't know someone, it could be any direction.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's
I don't know that I've ever just said, oh, I'm going to start recording now because this is good.
So, I know that's
prayer hands, prayer hands. Yeah. I don't, I always tell people, I say that, you know, I'm very reserved and quiet, but if I have an interest in you or if I feel trust within you, I'm going to, you know, open up and
I'm the same way.
You know, trying to
actually pretty quiet until I have.
Yeah. You kind of like read the room and so funny, like this whole environment I was doing for, you know, a few years during the virtual learning stage. So when you guys asked me and everyone's like, aren't you nervous? I was like, no, I was doing this with 10-year-olds.
Yeah.
And we were trying to do regrouping of subtraction and all this. And so this is natural for me. Awesome. I just was like I said, I was like the lighting. This is what's left of my setup because we're moving. So it's like, oh, I got to get a shot. I felt like, you know, Tyler Breeze getting a good shot type thing. So, you know, well,
that,
so
even if that is just the portion of the collection, it is gorgeous.
Yeah.
But
I see what you did there, Mr. Peck. I loved it.
So here's where we'll put the pin in for just a moment. Since we did just completely start, you know, just in conversation, let's take a step back. Welcome to the Major World Order podcast. I'm
one of your
hosts, Billy Peck, and with me is
Brandon McCormick. No relation to the Spice Company. If I did, I would have a lot more toys in my house, but nothing.
Yep.
I guess and my
And with us is
the big Jake Boski, the Sean Kemp of sneaker collecting, the major Mad Hatter. Jake, don't call me collect. Welcome to the latest. What are we doing? The latest podcast this week of the Major World Order. Or it's just too sweet. I'm all messed up.
Forgot what show we're on.
Well, I know. It's usually like a routine. This week, guys? But that way, you know, my gosh. So for those who have been listeners forever, you'll know that I've had this damn cough.
Yeah, forever. You're never losing it.
2 months now. So I apologize for that.
Don't you have that lover's cough? What's that thing called?
The
kiss of death or whatever? What is it?
The kiss of death?
Yeah.
But if this is your first time listening, now you have a name to the voice. We also can be followed on X, Facebook, Instagram, all at Major World Order, patreon.com/majorworldorder if you want to get a little extra content, and then youtube.com/majorworldorder where our newest vlog is up from the live show.
Oh, baby.
And Patreon has our latest pop culture episode where I went over like different autograph things, you know, and what other people within the Patreon
made that get already done.
Yeah, it's up. And
you didn't tell.
I guess I need to share the link with you. You didn't check Patreon.
Yeah, aren't you a subscriber?
No.
It's like, no, I ain't paying.
The money's just going to my pocket, pal.
So,
no, actually,
anyway,
split three ways.
Notifications on.
That's the stuff that we needed to get out of the way, but let's get back to the conversation. So you're getting ready to move.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
So your collection is not all, you know.
I am listening to older episodes when Brian moved, and just that's my therapy right now. We just moved. It was so funny. This whole wall, which you can't really see to my right, was all mint on card Bret Hart Mattels.
Wow. I'm
obviously a big Bret Hart fan.
Sure.
And I would say about 6 bins already have been put in the storage. And I have just the collection back here. I have a couple of WCW Dusty Rhodes ring, a classic cage set, and a huge tub of all my Star Wars that I'm going to load up. Nice. And because we're doing some renovations here, getting ready to sell the house. And then in the summer, move back to the county where the Big LG is from. Luke Gallows.
Nice.
Is from Cumberland, Maryland, where I was born.
Okay.
And hit my best friend's brother-in-law used to wrestle with him. And
very cool.
We know him as Drew. Wow. And sure. He'd come around and do fairs and whatnot. So he's kind of one of those, he's like the only 6'10" guy, 7-foot tall guy we have in Cumberland. But he's a really nice gentleman, does a lot for the community, especially in that neighboring area. But yeah, that's kind of, if no one knows Cumberland, I say, oh yeah, wrestling. Oh yeah, okay. Yeah. And that's kind of how people know it. So
that's awesome. Now, okay. have you been to any of the Jimmy's shows?
I have not been.
No.
Okay. This is, I think this is fast. I've not been to one live show.
Wow.
I have never. I pop in boozing with the toys once in a while. Mm-hmm. Don't really collect any major merch. I bought the Macho Bendy and the Demolition Big Rubber guys.
Very cool.
I think I'm in the elite tier, I want to say, for about a year and a half then. But just, I'm kind of like that very kind of on the outside type of person, but I love the enthusiasm that everyone brings to it. I love seeing people like comment on, you know, I get a huge pop like a little kid when someone likes something you post or makes a comment about it and whatever. But the Jimmy show is always interesting to me because being Baltimore, which I'm in Southern Maryland right now. So Baltimore is like 45 minutes away.
Yeah.
It always is something where I would love to go. And I feel like I want to take one of my kids, my oldest daughter's 12, but she's not really a collector. It's probably my wife or something with me because I see the vlogs.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's like an experience. And I think it was mentioned in, I'm sure, in interviews that you guys have done with other major marks, is like you're kind of like this adopted family that when you see them eye to eye, you go for that, you know, that chest thump and hug or whatever the case may be, you know, type thing. And
let's get a beer.
We're like, oh my God, you're a lot bigger in person. And then you say, that's what she said. And then it's like this whole like kind of thing. And so it's really, it's been a nice, addition, you guys kind of taking charge here, not to fluff you up here, but you guys have really kind of been able to put a spotlight on this collecting world because, you know, during the last couple of years, everything's going on. It's a nice outlet.
Absolutely.
And for the podcast to expand beyond wrestling and to have those discussions in other areas of other hobbies, it kind of awakens things in you. And the bank account doesn't like it so much, but the ability to, you know, show my children things that I collected and tell them stories of what I did and to see them do it themselves, you know, do battle royals in their room and things of that nature. And it's like, oh, that is kind of like what I had as a kid. So it's always nice to talk and about anything related to hobbies like that. Cause I think the older you get, you know, you have that disposable income. You really want to take advantage of that. But it's the move and everything. It's like, oh, man, we talked earlier about click. Can I just do this and fast forward to like July? Where I can I know exactly how I want to display it. We don't have a home yet, but we're just like, this is my sanctity. This is my sanctuary. And it's getting shrunk and shrunk and shrunk. Yeah. So it's an honor to do this because I can kind of reflect back like, oh, look how happy I sounded back in March. And now my stuff is all in boxes in May and June. It's so
awesome. So. But I mean, just look at the bright side. I mean, here soon you're going to have a brand new place and, you know, you're going to be able to take some time. Yeah, absolutely. Yes. I mean, my wife and I, we literally just moved into our new house here and a little over a month ago. And it's just everything's where it's supposed to be. And like, I think my favorite thing is like unpacking, you know, the action figures and the things and getting the display set up and, you know, doing all that. It's just, it's so much fun. And, you know, again, it's kind of one of those things. It's the adult version of playing with your toys, you know,
yes.
There's just something about it. It's just so peaceful and just calm. You know what I mean? Like jam some tunes, have a nice little drink and just relax.
It's almost those Zen gardens, right? Where you get the, you know, you get the rake and you make the patterns, or like what I'm thinking with Mr. Miyagi when he cuts the bonsai.
Yes. You know, get out of my head. I was just thinking that.
You envision. Like, yeah. You envision
all pass. What you want and make it happen.
You sicko. But yeah, like it's like
Ralph Macchio is your hall pass.
No,
what a weirdo.
No, the one from Karate Kid 3.
I know, I'm joking.
What's her name?
Oh, dude, real quick.
Elizabeth Shue or no?
Or 4 was Hilary Swank. No.
That one, Hilary Swank.
Number 4, that's the next Karate Kid.
Ah, so whatever.
This is how old I'm getting. I'm at work the other day, and there's a... So I work at a dealership, and this kid, he's a lube tech. He comes up, and we're talking about something. He had a broom, and he's sweeping the floor, and he's like spinning around. I'm like, hey, man, no karate at work, dude. And he's like, oh, you know, I'm just practicing my my Karate Kid, you know, like Jaden Smith. And I'm like, oh God. And I'm like, dude, I'm like, I got to go outside. I'm getting old, bro. Like,
we had a bookmobile come today for our school to kind of advertise what they do in the spring breaks and the summer breaks, you know, they go around neighborhoods and we were talking about the physical media and whatnot on there. I was like, man, I said, if I had one of these in the 90s, you know, this would be incredible, but we didn't have this. And my students look at me like 90s. And I'm like, yes, 30 years ago when we didn't have DVDs and we were just
back in the 1900s.
Yeah. Back in. Do you have color TV back then, Mr. McCormick? I was like, yes, we did. What?
Yeah. We even had reruns.
Right. Yes, yeah, so horse was the mail. Yeah, oh my goodness, we had to wait every week for a new episode, and then over the summer you had a cliffhanger, and you had to wait 2-3 months before the new season started. And gosh, yeah, but it's funny because like when you guys have guests on your show, and they'll talk about you know collecting what started and buying back things that they had, and then you know I shout out to Mr. Kyle Peterson, that book, the Jack's Classic book that a lot of people I've gotten myself.
Oh yeah,
you're looking like. Oh my goodness. Yeah. And you're like, wait a minute, that line's 20 years old. And I'm like, oh, and I'm looking at the dates, 2004. Oh, I was in college, 2006. Oh, I graduated 2007. I was in the real world. You know, that's, you know, 18, 19 or 17, 18 years ago. You're like, oh, man, like, you know, like, oh, I remember when Andre and Hogan met 20 years ago. No, that was not 20 years ago. Yeah. That was almost 40 years ago. And it's like,
I know, right?
Yeah. And yeah, that is another interesting perspective. Like I wasn't getting classic superstars yet, but it was that era of Jax where I started recollecting again. It was because I saw Shawn Michaels figure and I'm like, you know, it'd be cool to have, you know, just a random figure of, you know, my favorite wrestler. And it was, yeah, again, it was that era, like maybe 2003 or 4, somewhere in there was when I got that. So, man, 20 years ago is when I started collecting again.
And I think those companies, also know that, like, as Hasbro and LGN people, that most of us are in the group, if you have a better version of that figure that's released, you're going to like nostalgia. Like my collection back here, what's left is literally, and I thought I was like, oh, I'm so cool, I'm doing this, and everyone in the group posted about it, they love it. And then I remember looking back in the archives, sure, it was a Conrad reference there, and I was like, oh my God, I wasn't the first one. Mr. Justin Walsh posted about this idea like 2 years ago, where he was buying the Mattels and getting the Mattel version of the Hasbros and kind of lining them up. And that's pretty much what we have back here for me. And I was like,
I think
like,
that was someone else that was doing
that. I love that idea. So for me, it's like
with the Bone Crunchers.
Someone was doing the video game too.
That I love that because that's my era.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, somebody had done like all of them. They did like the Mattel, the Jax, the Hasbro.
Yeah.
And so there was like three or four in a row. And it was like, dude, this is crazy. You know,
it's crazy that there's a lot that match.
Sure.
And a lot that I dictate to my beautiful wife. And I say, hey, this is not exact, but is this close enough? Like Owen Hart's and other things. And, you know, so that's kind of that's what's left over here for me is kind of like that. Because that's my I'm buying back Hasbro's. I remember as a kid just playing to death. So it's really nice and kind of very nostalgic. So
I don't want to talk about Hasbro's right now.
I've been trying to get as many as I can. Like,
well, oh, God, I know it's gonna happen.
Jake, you're such a fool.
All right, let's don't worry. I'm just gonna cry a little bit.
I want to ask you, do you have like what are your like collecting rules? Like, do you now like do you collect just like anyone specific, or do you kind of have like rules like Matt, you know, doesn't collect anyone, you know, after 2010 or whatever it was.
Yeah, I think that's when he debuted. I think for me, I always refer to the teacher me. I feel like the teacher me takes over more than dad or whatever. And as a teacher, you have lesson plans, you have formats of what you want to do and structure. So my collection is simply, it is Mattel Jack's Hasbro attire. That's kind of the main one here. And then what's packed away is a WCW from 1989 to 1996, because I have a WCW ring that it goes with.
Nice.
And then the third kind of subcategory collection is, it's one of my favorites that I started a while back, is an LJN inspired collection. So all the Mattel versions that look like the LJNs, because I could never afford. I have three kids. My son eats more than me, so like I can't. Major fitness challenge is having three kids.
Yeah,
and not being able to afford to feed yourself. So I, as a compromise, because I actually grew up born in '84. My first figures were LJNs, Jesse the Body and Roddy Piper.
Very cool.
I can't afford those, so I was like, "What's the next best thing?" Well, Mattel, a lot of Mattels and some Jack's Classics had the attires. And it's kind of like putting puzzle pieces together, going back, checking wrestling figure database, checking Kyle's book, and like, you know, this kind of looks like this, and how much is this, and kind of, you know, like that Always Sunny Philadelphia meme where he's connecting everything together.
Yes.
So, and what it does also kind of puts a cap on my collection, because then you're not getting the newest. Full disclosure, I don't watch the current product. I watch Royal Rumbles, WrestleManias, stuff like that. The big ones, exactly. SummerSlam, Survivor Series, but. In terms of like following, you know, I've been in and out of the wrestling game for like 25 years because of life and my career and then being a family guy. But those figures, like from 87 to 97, that was my, and that was the original idea of my collection. I was like, I'm going to collect everything 87 to 97. Then we have these subcategories.
I love it.
And what I'm fighting off now is the Attitude Era. Because I'm like, there's so many good figures, the Triple H Ultimates. I bought a Stone Cold off of Brian's Whatnot. Does not fit in my any collection. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to buy it just in case, because I don't see this thing in stores. And he packs it well. He's got great prices on that channel. And I was like, I'm going to hold on to it. And then that's when we were starting to pack. So, you know, a year from now, or 6 months from now, I'll be posting on Facebook, probably an Attitude Era shelf or something. And kind of just, I'm a more error guy. I know a lot of people in the group do that. And that's, for me, that's how I liked it. You know, and I'm to a point where I'm putting the babies together on one riser and then the heels on the other, and tag teams, very almost OCD to a certain extent,
but I love it.
Just something like that, basically, as long as I have like a structure to it and I can kind of build off of that.
So if you ever need a hand organizing, just let me know, man.
That's
my jam, dude. I love, like,
he's going to take them all.
I'll look in there and I'll just sit there and I'm going to tell you what to do. That's the one thing I hate about this show is, like, I see people's collections.
And you want it.
Yeah.
Well, of course I want it. But, like, I see something and I'm like, oof. I was like, that's out of place, or that's crooked, or this needs to go here. This, you know what I mean?
So it's
like,
I'm sick. I want to make this shelf even more crooked.
But now, like, you're making me so itchy right now with this Mattel Hasbro collection. I'm like.
Yeah, it is.
It's such a cool idea. I love it.
It's a great idea.
It is. And then with you're buying like duplicates of certain figures, like Hogan's.
Sure.
Like, I think it was Elite 92 Hogan with the helmet.
Yeah. Like, what are you doing with all that stuff? Like, because there's like the bear hug one.
Yeah. Then, so basically,
posing them different?
There is four Hogan's right here. You can't really kind of see, but
Billy, make him full screen? Sorry.
You got to. No, you're fine.
No, I'm.
And then
this is for our Patreon members. Look at this.
Yeah, this is exclusive content.
Look how good that looks.
It looks clean.
Oh,
so like you can kind of get my ugly mug out of the way here. You can kind of see like, let's see here. This is better than OnlyFans. You kind of see that.
For me.
He's got those rockers in there.
Yeah, so you do have, you got some, I did see some,
that's awesome.
Some Jacks in there too.
Yeah, so the hard part with some of the figures is some of the Jacks,
they don't make them yet.
So you're kind of like, Jacks is very wonky. So I was like, you know, like Martell, for example, he has the purple one, but there's no purple Hasbro. So I'm like, you know, I got to get the pink. And the pink's pretty expensive.
Oh, it's like, I think last time I saw it, it was like $400.
So you kind of like Broski says, you make your own rules.
Right.
Yeah. For me, yeah, though, the secret is Threadheads. And I'm not sponsored or anything, yeah. But like to get those shirts and get like a basic couple of those Hogan's are just basics.
Okay.
But you can kind of do like customizations. Exactly. Yeah. And you kind of just study the Hasbro. And I used to have them in the poses, but this is sure. just a throwaway shelf. We're going to have a massive,
right.
kind of display when we move, but like the rockers, I mean, those are expensive. So I bought the rockers sure. just without the shirts. Right. And then I kept watching like Brian does. I kept watching certain accessories and then boom. So I think my rockers cost a quarter of what they would buy if you bought them together.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's like, I guess, I don't know if anyone, like if you had like, you know, when you do Harry Potter, if anyone's a Harry Potter fan out there, you do like the house test of what house would you belong to or whatever. I feel like we should have that for Major Pod. Like, what host hat? Are you? Yeah, sorting hat. Are you a Mark Sterling? Are you a Brian? Are you a Matt? And I feel like that would be a tremendous, like, I think for me, I'm more of a Brian, not because I have the beard and I'm a girl dad and whatnot, but just like the steadiness of, you know, playing the long game
right.
for me. Because, you know, those Hasbros, there's a cap. So that's one of the sure. reasons why LJN and Hasbro, there's a cap. So I'm not going to have like 400 figures.
It's finite. But, you know. Yeah,
exactly. So it's like, and I don't think like there's a few like Skinner. Skinner doesn't have any representation.
Ooh, yeah.
Your shout out to your guy, Giant Gonzalez. He's kind of been a white whale. The only Jax classic that I've been clocking that is like him and Kona Crush. I'm just like,
what about Nails? Is there
no Nails?
I was going to say
you would have to use, and I'm not against like customs. I would love to have a
just get the Bendy, the Hasbro, and the Bendy.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So it's like you're kind of like waiting, and it's LJN similar. Ted Arcidi, you know.
Right.
So there's ones that you're like, if you you're never going to get them, but you're like you still hold out hope because one day, you know, you have all these toy companies making things.
Heels and Faces can make them. Yeah.
Yeah, and like Dynamite Kid's representation in my collection was originally the Jax, but he is super short with the Jax. So instead, I did the Chella. The uncensored.
Okay. Yep.
And I bought the Davey that came out with the tights, matched perfectly. Nice. And
awesome.
So, but it's just a long game, to be honest with you. It's just patience.
I actually really like that. Like, not only the concept of it is really cool, but the way you're doing it, it's kind of like you're making your own rules as you go along. So you're complete the whole time. You know what I mean? Like that, like my biggest problem with collecting is like, I have to be a completist unless I have some kind of dynamic I can follow like that. I could follow that. I think I could trick. Now my only problem is I could only do like either Mattel and Hasbro and like that's it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I know you because you're, as soon as you buy not Hasbro but a Mattel, you're gonna make up some crazy rule to be like, oh, I have Mattel now, so I gotta get this one's
you're right. Because I would have to do John Gonzalez.
Jimmy Snuka's representation is better in Jax than in the Mattel because long tights and he's got the trunks in. So like you're giving and taking. Like one of my my favorite purchases, it wasn't an expensive purchase, for the LJN inspired collection was the Killer Bees because they had an LJN collection tag team. They came out twice in the Jax tag team and single. Mm-hmm. And that is the reason I got into wrestling. My family tells me stories. When I was a kid, there were three things that my family tried to get me into: wrestling for the Killer Bees and Bruno Sammartino, because we're close to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Notre Dame football, and then Boston Bruin hockey. Well, what ended up happening was when I watched the Killer Bees, they wrestled the Hart Foundation. Oh, they're cooler. They have pink. I like them.
Yeah.
When Notre Dame played college football, they played University of Miami. So I went with The Rock and those guys. I went follow them. They were the Cowboys.
Right.
And then Boston Bruins, they used to play the Pittsburgh Penguins. Shout out Joe Shoes. He's a big Penguin fan.
Yeah.
So I always kind of went – I was exposed to these awesome pop culture things as a kid. But always kind of like – I was like, oh, I want the other one. Like, as an 80s kid, we all liked Hogan. I didn't look like Hogan. My dad didn't look like Hogan. So I was like – I liked wrestlers that looked like my dad. So the Bret Hart, Jim the Anvil Neidhart. My dad looked like Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
That's
so
why it's Jake liked Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Oh,
my dad was crazy like Macho Man. So that's why I guess why I liked him. Ooh yeah.
And then wake us far up with an elbow drop every morning. Tell him to go to school.
And then like we had we had like duplicates of figures because like my sister and I would fight of Hasbros and whatnot. And, you know, I would do the laundry basket steel cage and thing. You know, low middle class can have a lot. My favorite thing was we had a coffee table and I would have the ring, the Hasbro ring, go to the coffee table and act like the WCW ramp. That they used to have those long rims, AEW, I think, does to a certain degree. And oh, the bangers I would have on that. Just just the it was just I see my stepson doing it every once in a while and I kinda let him do his thing, but I'm like, then I turn to a booking agent, no, I think you should do over here. And I'm like, no, just let him do his thing because you know. But it's always nice to like kind of show off because my wife, when I met her, I was not into collecting. I started, like the boys mentioned, and I'm sure people have mentioned in the past, I was a Conrad listener. And all those old pay-per-views, you know, between 87 and 97, like I mentioned earlier, I was obsessed. And then when Matt and Brian came on, I think it was in 17 or 18, I started like, oh, okay. And then that's when I first met my wife. And the very first figure I bought that started this whole collection was the Ultimate Edition Bret Hart. And I... along with David C. Anderson, we were like the Bret Hart completists of the group in 2020, 2021. And then like Jake said, it kind of was like, I have all these Bret Harts. I had every Bret Hart. The only thing I didn't have was the mail away. And I was like, you know, they're really butchering Bret. I love them, but there's a lot of pink and black. I need a new spice. I need a new variety. So I kind of condensed it. And then I started going these directions. I'm still a Bret Hart completist in every Mattel, which Billy, we need to have some people be nicer to Brett in the group because they're butchering my boy because I love Brett and these heads are killing me. But I'm also an HPK. I'm starting this another side quest of a top five. So I have all the Hogans. I have all the Macho Elites. I have Mattels. I have all the HPKs. I have more HPKs than I'm of a VSK level, I feel like, with the HPKs, with the Mattels. Ooh. And I don't realize that because I'm like, you know. And then
about
like,
how many are you at?
I want to say I'm missing a few.
Billy's like, this guy.
The commissioner Michaels, the Build-A-Figure is a hard get.
I don't have that either.
Oh, dude.
Is most of it, it's mostly Mattel for you?
Yeah. So like
Shawn Michaels?
The top five, which is a side quest I started about a year ago, is all Mattel only.
Got it.
Because they are the best figures, and they are the ones that, you know, fortunately, I collect guys that they pump out 3-4 times a year. But like, you know, Hogan's had a run and I'm like, whoa, I need
especially
to
the last like 3-4 years. Yeah.
Yeah. Like God bless LaPuma and all those Hogan fans. I'm like, oh my God, if they did this to Brett, cause Brett's my number one guy. I don't like those basics right now are hard to find. And then the Monday Night War figure. Like,
I've been trying. Brett.
I'm like, that's my boy. Why'd you do that to my boy? But it's always fun because the older you get, and you know the nuances of the business, even though I'm not in it or anything. Like the storytelling. I'm a huge fan of storytelling, and whether it's, you know, a 5-minute match or a 35-minute, 40-minute classic. Now, listening back to interviews of people, I'm looking for things, you know, and that's kind of the cool part. When you're collecting your Hasbros and you're collecting anything, you discover something you never knew before.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I never owned the Typhoon before. So when Brian, when he collected his, he mentioned that the writing on there is really hard to get. I was like, oh, that's good to know. Because I never thought of it because I never had that figure. You know, the prints on the Hogan shirts are very difficult to get without mint, without opening it because of the wear away because it's a 30-year-old Hasbro. So the what you guys do and kind of allow us fans here to kind of explain what we talk about, what we do and what the boys do on the Varsity Podcast, if you will, or whatever you want to call it. It's been a tremendous kind of, you know, gift. Like I look forward to everyone's content. There's two I haven't done yet is the Heath Happy Hour. Mm-hmm. Because he's from West Virginia and Cumberland, Maryland's like 3 minutes from the West Virginia border.
Oh, nice.
And I grew up with a lot of Heaths. Let's just say that. So I'm like, you know, so.
Be careful now. Be careful.
You know, I'm a West Virginia guy.
I love them. But everyone's like, man, I was like, no, West Virginia, I love him. Like, you know, it's just his stories and whatnot crap me up. So I'm trying to get to him. And then D Freedom's Dissections. Yeah. Kind of fascinating me because I'm a big attire guy. I like learning about the tributes of things and where they wear things and what the meanings of them are. And I've always enjoyed that. Mm. So like what everyone does in this family that we have is really kind of, it's nice to be a part of, like I said, kind of a peripheral like I am, but to have a platform and to kind of just talk with you boys has been really nice. You know, so.
Well, you'd have to upgrade the hard tier for those other shows.
So. I know. Yeah. I got to tell my wife, I got to get hard all the time. She's like, really? Really? So,
but no, you know, I get it. You know, I think they all have something to offer, like, and I can also see where like personalities would maybe, you know, make people go like, oh, maybe I don't want to listen to that or whatever. Because like, you know, and I don't, I'm not even saying that as like a negative. No. You know, I know that like D can be very polarizing on like the main show, but I don't really get that as much out of him when he's just like doing like the figure dissection show. You know, it's just, he's just talking about the figure and really just the facts of it. Heath, it's so much fun, but I could also see where it could, you know, maybe be a little daunting, because it is a whole, I don't even know the right way to put it. It's a whole nother lifestyle almost.
Yeah. Right. What I appreciate about him is that he's kind of that one of the hardest workers no one knows about.
Yes.
And everyone knows him for this character, or, oh, he got, you know, the beat up or job that or whatever people use for this. And you know what I learned about, he's a family man. He's a grown man like myself. And I'm always going to gravitate towards individuals who have those things with me, and his ability just to enjoy life.
Yep.
Is something like, we all should inspire in some way to be. And you know, we all love his accent too in West Virginia.
Yeah.
You know, that's what, that's what
he's a very emotional person.
Yes.
Yes.
In the aspect of like, I mean, yes, he does, you know, is able to get, you know, emotional in the sense that a lot of us think of, you know, where like he'll get sad and start crying, you know, or, you know, but it's emotional also of just how happy he is. Sorry, what?
So it's a West Virginia thing. I do it all the time.
Yeah, you get.
I cry.
And I laughed.
It's twice a week.
But you know, he wears his emotions on his sleeve, and it's almost always.
Yeah.
Yes, his heart. Thank you. But it's almost always happy.
Yeah.
So
it's very genuine and real, and and I think the one thing I'm sure the boys hear all the time is when everyone meets you guys or Mark and everyone, how very personal everyone is, and kind of like, hey, I know, like Brian said it best a couple years ago on a vlog, like, I know these people through names on Facebook,
right?
And maybe a picture or something, if we have our own picture, like I think my profile is my three kids or whatever, but then when you see them in person, it's like, you know them,
right?
You know, it's like, oh, hey, you know, and we all come in like shapes and sizes and whatnot. Sure. It's just really kind of, you know, we've had people come and go in the group and ever so often, but you have the ones that have been consistent there. And I mean, there are posts I love reading, you know, Roy's Lucier, I believe. My God. I love nothing about CM, like that whole genre, but every time you post something, I'm like, oh, okay. Billy. I'm going to.
He just saw my smile. Cause he knows I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Instead, I keep the show PG.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Nah, I can't do that. We'll just say that
he's
also
a
super nice guy, but he is a wild man.
He is a wild
wild thing.
I think my favorite for him was I watched recently the Hulk Hogan vlog with Joe and Joe Shoes and Brian and Knick, and he comes up and tells Joe Shoes, hey, aren't you the son? I'm like, oh, yep. Okay. I'm watching that with my kid in the background. I was like, oh, God. Okay. Sorry. We're going to fast forward that part, you know, but what's really fascinating is also is the talented people we have in the group.
Oh,
you know, I marvel at the customizers.
Get out of here with that. It's crazy.
And
it's
like crazy. Mr. Matthew Balk. Hey, I'm Matthew Balk. I created almost every title from like 97 just casually drops it in there. So anyone who's new to the group, like, we'll hear that, and they get a huge pop from the new members, and we're like, oh, that's Matthew, typical Matthew. Oh, you know,
he's had a picture with every single person in the world, like everybody. Like,
Literally so, crazy. Like,
and I even asked him one time, I was like, what about the Grinch who stole his Christmas? Ha ha ha. Really send me a picture of him.
Him and Jim Carrey?
In the Grinch outfit.
What? You're lying.
Maybe that's besides the point.
But
you know,
if anybody were to be able to do such a thing,
Matthew, I know you're listening. Please just randomly post, tag us in the group, and if you have a picture of Jim Carrey in the Grinch outfit, just post it.
He's gonna Photoshop it.
I'll send you $25 PayPal just for that.
I know. I'm sure you've had these gentlemen and major babes on, the well knowns, the Kathy Hummers and the Carrie Cowlings and whatnot.
Yeah.
And just people that, you know, have been involved, and you're like, oh, I actually know you through this and this. It's kind of like, it's almost like a high school, like someone said it best, is why in senior year in high school, you don't pay any attention to any of your classmates for the first 6-8 months. And those final 2 months in high school, your senior year, everyone's hanging out because, you know, like this group is never going to be like that again.
Yeah. It's interesting.
You don't know what you got till it's gone.
Exactly. Type thing.
There was all sorts of people that like went all 4 years, you know, and then this finally that last school year, like finally started talking to, and it's like, why did we never talk? You know,
yeah. Like people who say they leave and they come back, and it's like in the group, yeah, they're like, oh, yeah, I missed you guys. And you're like, mm-hmm, I took a break myself. Like I was in 2020 when everyone was stuck inside and whatnot. And then, took a little break because work got stressful and I just was tired and came back like 3 months later. And I was like, yeah, it felt like something was missing. And it's very cool that we have, for a majority of the time, people very respectful and really put people over and understand, like Jake said earlier, like, you know, we all have our things, but just the one phrase we use, shout out to my stepson, Mateo, and my kids, Milena and Mary Grace, don't yuck my yum, you know, type thing that we've used all the time.
Yeah, I just started hearing this term recently.
That's my first right now.
Same. Yep. I like that.
But yeah, you know, to step back just a little bit, you know, you talking about like, you know, getting to know people in the community and Matthew Balk specifically, he started listening to our show just because he was getting ready to go to his first Major Pod Live event.
Yeah.
And he started asking like who all is going to be, I'm trying to remember. I think it was Live 11, the first Florida show.
Yeah.
He was going to be going to that and was like, who all is going to this that has been on MWO? So I know who to listen to first and get to know you more. So that way when they, you know, met, you already had their story, you know, it gave a comfortability. Same thing with Live 15 in Florida. We had Chris Stanley on. He was getting ready to go to his first live show. And we're just like, he's like, hey, I really want to like talk to people and meet people. And I was like, you know what? Let's get this guy on and put his story out. So if anybody is like, hey, let's get to know him.
Yeah.
There you go. So
I know. Well, my plan was to comment on Husfar's post every day until I got the invite. And finally, like the most recent post, and he pops in my DMs at 12:30.
It's actually like hilarious you say that because I actually picked you because we had such a pretty, you know, great conversation on my post. So I was like, let's get Brandon on. Which was
it? It was a very recent one.
I haven't been in the group with, I've been so busy with work, literally, like I can't.
It had to have been
on Facebook.
It was a very recent post.
It was a Sting post, or
was it with Young Var
and the baby face? Oh, it was the beard. Babyface Husfar.
Yeah.
So when he posted about your Sting meeting that the group was inundated with, and I was like, I have never met Sting. I've never met a wrestler. I've never been to a live event of Major Pod Universe. I've never been to a WWE. Right there.
Yeah, that's the
look picture. At that little tater tot.
So like, no, man, you've never been to a wrestling show, period.
No, growing up in Cumberland, of course, we were so close. We were Pittsburgh. So the Igloo, the old Igloo Arena in Pittsburgh, where the Penguins used to play.
Wow.
The Civic Arena, never went one of those. I mean, I am so close to, you know, the old Capitol Center in D.C., Baltimore Arenas, the Mariner Center, First Mariner Center, I think. I don't know what's called now in Baltimore. I was 2 hours to 2.5 hours away from these hotbeds where they would tour. And I just had no one in my family that was interested. My parents are awesome. Buy me any wrestling figure I wanted, but they never had an interest.
Yeah.
And my friends growing up were more sports related. So it was kind of like my niche, my away from everything. That was my escape, but I didn't really could relate to anyone. So I've never had a meet and greet. I remember I was at the Maryland Toy Expo last summer and I saw Ethan Page and Danhausen from afar. Nice. And my son's like, that's Danhausen. I'm like, yes, very nice, very evil. We don't want a Kirby curse. And he knows because I watched Danhausen stuff. So I've seen wrestlers. Like obviously my Bret Hart. I'm always like,
Sam, we need to get you meeting Bret, bro.
If he is anywhere near, you know, the appreciation of these older legends as I get older. I'm
as far
come
as
on, Brett, come on, baby.
Too.
Yeah.
So it's and that's kind of the cool part. I know there were people that would do reviews and whatnot who've never bought a Major Pod item, right, who maybe would check in for certain special things they do and then kind of check out and come back in. And I think that's kind of the uniqueness of it, where you can kind of step away and then you come back up. Oh, La Puma's working over here, and then, you know, and all these other things are going. And it's like really kind of, I love when people talk about their, like Jake mentioned, the specificities of their collection.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, everyone has their rules, and I love to learn about those rules. I'm like, you know, to me, if you are a collector, to put Brian over here, Brian Myers, is watch his video of his new renovation. And that is a masterclass, in my opinion, on how to not be overwhelmed with your collection and have distinct organized categories that will make your collection look very nice, you know? And then like where Matt's like my son, where like he will have an idea and then he'll kind of go over here and completely, no, I don't want to do this and do this again type thing. And it's really kind of cool. I love that where everyone can express that. And the cool part is they're the girls and the people in the group, the major babes and the people who have kids who are kind of, that's kind of the cool part that didn't that people are getting more open to really, you know, when they talk about the kids watching wrestling, I was like, yeah, I remember watching wrestling with my dad and then my kids watch it. We watched, you know, like I mentioned earlier, the big pay-per-views, but I think the group is, which I think a lot of people come on. Do they know like the group wasn't a thing? Cause Johnny Cisco created the beep in Facebook and shout out Johnny Cisco, probably a year or two into the podcast, I feel like. And then it kind of just kind of grew and it's really nice. It's definitely a go-to on my app. It's probably the one thing I visit the most and just to see the polite disagreements, hopefully, and then the cordial disagreements. And at the same time, when people are new and they can show off their collections, like Billy, I don't want to mispronounce his last name, Billy Dama.
Demania.
Y'all, his Sting collection.
Yeah.
That was impressive. I was like, oh, and you know what I did? I literally went on eBay last night because Husfar got me up. And then I bought like 7 Sting figures because I saw his post and I'm like, well, I guess I'm starting because I had a couple Stings already. The Great American Bash, the green jacket one and the red, white and blue one. So 90 and 91 Great American Bash elites for my WCW. And I had a Crow Sting. And then, of course, all these people are posting, you know, on the Facebook girls, you know, I think I need a couple more Stings. And sure enough, once Husfar woke me, I was like, oh, I got 7 coming this week. Oh, that's not good. So,
bro, I panicked yesterday. I was texting Billy and I actually texted Tommy Sapienza over here.
I love how everyone has catchphrases. That's awesome.
we try. But I was panicking because I was like, because I have a defining moments Crow Sting, and that's like my all time, you know, favorite Sting. I love Sting, but I was like, you know, I want to get one to get signed eventually. And then one I get, you know, for ones I really, really like, I usually get a third to like play with like on my desk.
Yeah.
And I don't mind like if it drop it or if it gets scuffed up and like whatever, like it's fine. It's whatever. It's a beat, you know, my play with one. So it's like, oh, like, should I start getting this now? Like, or is it going to go up now that he's retiring? Like all this stuff. Yeah. So everyone's telling me, Billy and Tommy both told me it'll probably go up. It'll eventually probably go down. But
yeah,
so I ended up I worked with a guy on eBay and I got one for a good price. And you know, I made sure that it was going to get like wrapped up perfect. So, you know, it would arrive for a signing and everything. Cause he's going to be at WrestleCon.
Yes.
So I was like, yeah, I might as well just do it. It's a good price. It's, you know, it's the Sting that I grew up with. Like it definitely, you know, want to do this. And then the other one I grabbed was the Ric Flair, WrestleMania 24 Ric Flair with his last WWE match.
Oh, Defining Moments.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So I got the blue robe. I guess there's two versions of that. There's one.
Yeah, one open and one closed.
Open and closed. Yeah. The closed is the second version I heard, but I like the closed more.
I feel like the
more,
closed is.
I was told really the closed the one to is. Get. That's what I, because it looks more like how we came out in the match.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I think it was probably
a
running change to make it more accurate. Yeah. But I grabbed that because Flair's also going to be there for a really good price as well. So I was like, with all these legends, you know, I missed out on Scott Hall. I put him off for so long. He did signings all the time. And then I was like, oh, I'll meet him at WrestleCon, you know, our first WrestleCon in Dallas. Mm. And you know what happens? He fucking, you know, passes away. Excuse my language. Sorry.
No, it's okay. Mateo, don't repeat that. You know, if you listen.
I'm sorry. We could dolphin it out.
You're fine. It.
I
need to work.
Billy's like,
Billy.
I'm a Pittsburgh Penguin fan. There's been some cussing in the house this year with the season we've had. So
I gotta be better with it. But yeah. So I just been trying to just jump back to and just get those. Kind of important ones, you know, that you have to get, but get those things.
Yeah, like I think, like I have a few autographs. Like I, even though I've never been to a show, I have a Defining Moments Bret Hart signed. That was, I think, that's my holy grail. That's the one that's wrapped up.
The
like,
flag.
The flag. I love telling the story to any.
I love that.
It was a
that's
Friday
my
night.
Favorite Bret.
July 2020, and the auction ended on a Friday night, and I won it for $190.
The figure alone is
it's mint, came in a defender, and I'm just like, it was just like Brian mentions on the podcast and Matt to everyone, really, it's like you just watch, and then sometimes you just, you know, like the Hasbros behind me, most of these Hasbros are mint out of the package, and I just watch. And Mercari has been my go-to,
I've never bought anything off,
dude. Mercari's awesome.
Mercari's better because the bundles, and you can really, they price require almost more pictures, I feel like. And then,
I
love Mercari.
You know, there's stuff where people definitely know what they're selling, and, you know, it's big prices, but there's other stuff. It's almost like one of those, like, well-kept secrets to a certain degree where, like,
but you don't want to let it out.
Right. Yeah, I know.
Wolfing all this out, Billy. All of it.
Yeah, whatever.
Don't tell us.
People in this group know what's going on. But there's stuff that I've found where it's like, you know, pricey items that you get for super cheap. And it's like, what? And it's like, people just want to get rid of stuff. Like,
They're
not treating it like eBay a lot of times.
Right.
Yeah.
I sell on Mercari. You know, I was selling on Mercari for a good while, and you know, people were buying up all my stuff that like I would put up on eBay, and it would just sit there, and I would have good prices. Yeah. Like I wouldn't have like crazy high prices. Like I'd put the same price on eBay, it'd sit there. Like, but people, you know, liked my service I'd give them. So I like Mercari a lot, and the fees are a little less than eBay's. Like,
they're more manageable where you feel like you're actually making a profit. Sponsorship Mercari for the NWO there in 2024.
Please, I love Mercari.
World Order.
I know, but this I think in the with collecting, it's so funny because like that meme with the Drake where he's shaking no to like 20, you know, to one price, but then like he's shaking yes when the price seems better, but it's not.
Yeah,
I mean, I think the most I paid for, I think the Bret Hart, the Defining Moments, was my highest. I've sold figures for higher than I paid for that Bret Hart through my collecting time. And it's like, you know, riding out the wave of like Sting's figures. I clock them because one of my Sting figures I bought yesterday, thanks to the nostalgia of everything, was his first AEW. And when I bought it, I bought it for like $30, let's say on eBay or something like that. Yes. And then I go back later when Hussey is DMing me, and then I see him on eBay, it's like $200. I'm like, what I miss? I know he had a match, but like, kind of just like people, the supply and demand that the boys talk about with the big rubber guys and the bendies and how unique those are. And it's like any toy. It's like, you know, there's a finite production. And then over time, they're go. And now you miss out, and the feeling of like, oh, I missed out on something. And so like for any Steam collector out there, like obviously like his stuff's going to rise. I think it's going to come down a bit, but at the same time, if you look at his history of figures, he's not represented as much because he's been in companies that like TNA that didn't have those strong figure lines. So there's a good chunk of his career that it's like a Bret Hart. As a fan of Bret Hart, before the classics, Bret was not, he was in Bone Crunchers and WCW, but then after WCW, you had like a 5-year window where there's no Bretts. And then his rival HPK had like 50 million figures coming out through the Ruthless Aggression in Jack's days. So as a Bret Hart fan, you're like, you know, when certain people are non grata in the company or whatever, you have this gap, and it kind of like you like, what do I do as a collector? Yeah. And you know, for those, I mean, the Shawn Michaels fans out there, I'm very envious because he's been a guy continuous, you know, throughout it all. But like someone like Sting, I think is he's going to be an interesting collector. The Supreme figure coming out, everyone's going to gravitate towards. I think if you're a Sting fan, like just wait. Personally, I'm not giving financial advice, but like you should probably wait because like Husvar said, it'll be high and it's going to die down a bit. Because he's still going to have figures come out.
And I think there will be some things where, like, the red and black NWO Sting will still probably stay
it'll
high
be like
and maybe grow.
Still, well, yeah.
You know, but
so
a lot of other things I think will go down. It's just the way
it's kind of scrolling through in the group here a minute ago, and somebody had posted something about that, and they put a picture up of the Sting defining moments that was supposed to come out with the Crow, the OG.
Yeah. The legend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or legends. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The canceled legends.
Dude,
yeah.
If only he had signed with AEW like a week or two later, we would have.
Right.
Yeah.
I remember they shortened that set because it was supposed to.
Everyone got excited. Before. I remember waking up. It was during the pandemic. I remember waking up and I was like, the pre-order's going up. I'm like, fuck. And I'm like, oh, so, like, we're Sting. We're Sting.
Dude,
Sting.
This is the first episode I've never cussed on. I've been saying, like, I'm not even trying not to.
I'm trying not
Brandon's
to. I think that's why.
It's funny.
Guy, and I'm
you
just
get
like,
Husvar hey, all excited.
And I'm like, Sailor Mouse.
Husvar never talks ever.
Yeah, I never
do. Oh, this is cool. Great.
He's going crazy this episode, man. What's going on?
That's shooting off. Stupid. Husvar from the hip. You know,
but yeah, that I remember seeing that thing and being like, I need
Dude, I know. This. I wanted that so bad too,
and being so devastated when they're like, "Oh, it's not coming."
I don't know the history enough. I think someone posted in the group that the only like true Crow Sting, because I know like the white and black face paint everybody considers Crow, but like with just like the one line going down like
the with the short
the
hair.
Line,
the only
representation that is, I think, like the vibrator Sting or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. And San Francisco or the San Francisco toy maker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That one is that's like
it's, dude.
My R Sting, because he was that was the 96 to 97 where you would click over at 9:50 on TNT, you know, because Sting was going to show up. Yeah. And like you knew like what was going to happen because he's not saying a word.
Right.
He didn't like it was for like nine months or something. Like
is
that?
He joining? Is he joining?
Yeah,
it
was when crazy. Hogan turned heel, he was talking. He sounded like Hogan, but it was a little different. He dressed differently. You know, when Bret turned heel in 97, broke my heart, but I was like, I still supported him. Yeah, he's right about us Americans.
Dude, that's
you
my
know,
favorite
blah, blah, blah,
version
know.
Of Bret.
You know, and everyone says that. Everyone's like, oh, you're Bret. Don't you love 97? I said, you know, I didn't appreciate 97 at the time because as a Bret fan, I never thought he got, it sounds so elitist, but he never got the respect he deserved. I always felt like when Bret was on the top of the game, it was like, okay, he's on top. Now who's going to take it away from him? Yeah. So as a Bret fan, when he won, it was like, oh, who's going to take it away from him now?
I can understand that for sure.
Yeah.
You know, there's like a paranoia as a Bret fan. You're like, oh,
yes.
Here's Diesel. Here's Sean.
Yeah.
Here's Stone Cold, you know?
I think what gets me the most about it is like, you know, we had already known for years that Bret's in-ring work was great. He's the excellence of execution. He's the best there is, best there was. Bret never had personality.
No.
But in that heel 97 run,
right now,
his character work or whatever you want to call it, was so good.
Yeah.
To me, like, you know, when he had, you know, the bad attitude, and
he was, and I have to agree.
It was believable.
I have to 100% I have to agree with you, because like, I loved Bret Hart growing up. I mean, he was in my top five all day long, if not top two, really. And I loved him, but when he turned heel and like,
anti-America,
you know, I was just like, I hate this dude. I was like, I loved him for so many years, and he was a good guy, and he was just one of those hardworking guys that I just appreciated. And then like, and Shawn Michaels, like, I loved him, and but he started kind of, you know, he's being a bad boy, and he's doing all these things that my mom's like, what are you watching on TV? I'm like,
That was like when you're watching the Scramble Channel, so to speak, back in the day, and you have that the recall button. No, no, he didn't say anything. He didn't say suck it, mom. No, it was nothing whatsoever. But with Brett, 94 Brett, for me, I will go every year. I watch his whole year. It's like 90 to 92 Sting, to bring Sting in the conversation. I watch every year. And then 93, 94 Brett is, that is, to me, if you want to, like, what was it like growing up in the 90s?
Yeah.
Well, Bret Hart 1994 was for me, WrestleMania the peak 10. For him. And then in 97, I'm like, man, what if he stayed 98, 99, 2000, dude. You know,
I just, obviously, he was the catalyst that gave us, you know, really gave us the Stone Cold that we were to get, the Vince McMahon that we were to get,
right?
Even Shawn Michaels. But imagine him working with that version of Stone Cold and The Rock.
Dude. But would any of those guys have even been called up or anything, though, if Brett didn't go away? You know, like
the groundwork was all laid while he was there.
Yeah.
And kind of like Brandon was saying, you know, he was the guy that was, you know, here, you know, have a program with Sean and lose to him. Have a program with Diesel and lose to him. Yeah. Have a Undertaker, Stone Cold. He was, I almost wonder if he was kind of that good hand that we know he's going to be the best and put everybody at the top of their game to put them over.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, he was already wrestling The Rock, but it was like the Nation of Domination version, just
pre-Rock.
If you look at it through different eras, like if you grew up in the 80s, Hogan and Macho, you watch it today, if someone who's used to the more fast-paced type of, you're like, what is this? What is he doing? Like, you know, so when people talk about Brett being not a talker, I said, well, was he asked to be? Because at his time, it was more of the language of what was in the ring. So when he started, when he was able to talk with Shawn Michaels, you know, they hated each other, obviously. But then 2 years later, I don't think with him and Kurt Angle, everyone talks about Kurt Angle and him. Would it be any talking? Probably not. It would just be, hey, you say you're the best. I think I'm the best.
Mm-hmm.
Best out of five, best out of seven series they used to do on SmackDown in the early 2000s with those two guys. And he was that, like many people reference X-Pac as like, hey, if he can have a good match with him, then he's a good, like, I think Brett was like that. He was just a higher, you know, Sean was like that later in the career too. You know, if you look at all the people Sean put over, and then I think everyone, it's kind of like, the older you get, you understand your role. Like as a teacher for me, I'm year 18. So I know my time is coming up and looking to the next phase of my life. And it's like, so anytime I get a new teammate, a young teammate, it's me. Hey, what do you want to ask me? Please, I'm an open book. Like if your lessons look better than mine, that's okay, because you're the future. I'm kind of, you know, I'm on the tail end of my career, and so to speak. Right. But it's I always love hearing, you know, when you guys interview people and stories about that time, because this the feeling of going back and forth, 97, 98, 99. Of not knowing what was going to happen. Pre-internet, internet existed.
Sure.
You know, social media
didn't exist. It wasn't what it is today.
No. And there was something magical about that. That we look in hindsight, like, dude, Sting did not talk for a year.
Right.
He was the most over guy in a company and said nothing. Think about that.
There's a couple things to that. One, it's being different and doing something outside of the box that no one's ever done before. People are going to gravitate to that. People are going to pay attention to it. The second thing is, with that, you're creating this enigma, this like force,
mystery.
This mystery, this thing that is like, what the hell is going on? I have no clue, so I have to pay attention to this.
Because, I'll say it again. Is he going to join?
Right. Like, is he going to say something? Is he going to? Who? What's he doing? I mean, he used to be this surfer dude with blonde hair and colorful tights. Now he's just trench coat, white face paint. Like, what the hell's going on here? So
Batman.
Yeah. I think when they had that fake sting and he turned, I think it was Fall Brawl or something, and he turned and I cried more. I was more upset with that one than Brett turned heel.
Oh, wow.
Because I was, you know what? Brett's kind of got a point. He's been screwed a lot. You know, Sid, you know, Stone Cold. So Brett's got a point. But when Sting, I was like, Sting, because like when you're a kid growing up, you have your WWF guy, and you have your WCW parallel. Like for me, Brett and Sting for me. So it's like, you know, so always the same and very similar to the reactions, but completely different styles and the way they present themselves. But those are my two guys. And in a period of, you know, 96 to 97, my two guys were kind of like just all over the place. I'm like,
oh yeah,
what has happened? Like, my God,
absolutely, because at that point, there was never any question about Sting. He was always a good guy, always. You know what I mean? Brett, Brett started out as a heel, you know, when he was tag teaming with Neidhart, and then, you know, they became good guy, you know, back and forth. And then, but yeah, it was just, you know, but for the most part, Brett was always a good guy. But yeah, that definitely with Sting, you know, just, you're like, what the hell's going on?
And I don't know if you all saw the post, because a lot of people were very nostalgic yesterday, which is, you know, not for my wallet, but because I was buying every Sting finger figure Mattel made of them.
Sting fingers.
Yeah, Sting fingers.
Give me a Sting finger.
Shout out to they call it a Stinger.
The ET finger. But I ever saw a lot of people posted the Nitro where you had Sting and Warrior against Brett and Hogan. Now, you look at that marquee, you're like, what? Wait a minute. The four of the biggest wrestlers in the last 30 years outside of the before the Attitude Era, you know, in some capacity, are in a match together. You're like, oh, and you watch the match. You're like, oh, yeah. You know, it's like, as fans now, we're like, oh, we always go back with colored lenses and be like, oh, we could have done this better. There was a YouTube creator years ago from What Culture. He did a What If, or I would book so-and-so, Adam Blompier or something. And he did, one of my favorite ones was the Bret Hart to WCW. And his premise of, well, Bret's like a hired gun. He's a hitman, right? And every member of the NWO, he has beef with. He should go after everyone. And I was like, that's so genius. That's so smart. Because that kind of, it was kind of like an extension of what Sting's character should have been once he won the title. Like, hey, I'm not done with you because you've done a lot of, you know, it's easy for us as fans to look through that. It's like a movie, you know, like what Broski said about Star Wars. People complain about the different Star Wars trilogies because they have fond memories of that trilogy they grew up with, the prequels, the OG, or the new trilogy. So if you look at it through those lenses, you're not going to like anything but your own. Right. Whereas if you're open to look at other things through another perspective, you might find a lot that you like. I love the prequels now, watching them now than I did, you know, 20 some years ago. Because now I know the canon of the story, you know, and that's kind of the beauty of watching all the wrestling. Like, you know, you can go back and watch these pay-per-views that you used to have to order. And now you can show up on Peacock and anytime you want. And like, oh, I can watch 1991, you know, Hulk Hogan all the way through. And his things make sense and whatnot. And I think at the end of the day, like when people are having healthy discussions in the group, I think that's something that we all should keep in mind.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of there's been, you know, as Billy knows, there's a lot of like waves of like, oh, here we go. What's going on in the group type stuff. And it's like, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, we're all just collectors. We're all kind of people. We all have families, our own extension, significant others, children, whatever. At the end of the day, we enjoy this. This is our outlet.
Yeah.
This is something we love to do and we are able to share it with people. And, you know, I think that is always,
I think those moments. Oh, sorry.
No, you're fine. I'll get off my soapbox.
Yeah, no, I think those moments, while they can get heated at times, or, you know, people get very, you know, mad or upset and, you know, maybe fire back at people, I don't know that it's for most people. I don't think it's their intention to do so. It's like you said, it's because we love this all so much that
the passion.
We kind of get so passionate that you kind of stop thinking about like, how are you actually like talking to people? You know, you might just think like, oh, I'm just, you know, and you don't mean it. Maybe you do in the moment, but
I like when people post stuff that, and then people are like, what? Like, say a certain wrestler is a top five. And I'm like, wait, would I have them in my top five? And I'm like, I don't have a top five. Let me go through and make my own top five. You know what? I don't say don't have, but I'm not going to comment on that because or top 10. I'm like, I don't know. That's a great question. Such a great thing to discuss, but you know,
that's a whole nother, whole nother thing that like, to me, it's so subjective.
Yes.
Right.
You know, like if, you know, unless you're putting it out there as this is fact,
this is definitive,
which some people do that. I think a lot of people kind of confuse, best versus favorite.
Yes.
Can be two totally different things. And when you list your favorite things, other people be like, oh, well, that's wrong. And it's like, what? You know, but then, there is the other aspect of it too, of like, I don't know if I can give that answer. Like that's.
Yeah. Like I've never thought of it like that, type deal. Like, I mean, as like I said, a Bret Hart fan, the wrestler I grew up with, God bless him, still alive, is very respected, I think, for the most part. But those Mattel heads, every time there's a new figure, I'm like, oh, bro, God. Okay.
It's like one step
buckle up.
Just back sometimes.
I'm like, God, man, I can't wait to read the 15 post about Howard Stern.
Yeah.
Or that. I'm like, and I don't say anything. I kind of laugh, but I'm like, one time, please, one time, Mattel, can we get a nice Bret? Can do these other things. So it's like, I think at the end of the day, it's like, the Everybody Love Everybody from that Will Ferrell movie. And like I said, you guys, for how many episodes you guys have done, you are an extension.
66?
Oh, I was hoping for 69, but something with 69.
166.
Oh, so close.
Who was 69?
I think, you guys do a tremendous job kind of connecting. Because we see, Matt and Brian and Mark are like, they're on TV, right? But we have, like we discussed earlier, we have a lot of talented people in the group that I love. And when they casually mention, oh, yeah, I do. I'm like, what?
That's the thing, like there again, like you just said, Brandon, there's so many people in this group who are talented that have these amazing skills that like you've talked to these people for years. I have no clue what Tommy Sapienza does in his real life shoot job. You know what I mean?
Sapienza, but we know his name.
Sapienza.
But this guy could be like, an architect or something like that. You know what I mean? He creates these amazing buildings or you know what I'm saying? Something like that. And it's just like, whoa, dude. Like, I didn't know you did that.
Photography stuff?
What's that?
Is that what you're talking about? His fig photography?
I
didn't even know. I'm using it as an example just because he recently said something about him. And I've been thinking about him lately because my cardio lately has been on the downfall and I don't know. I don't have a treadmill and there's the community I live in. There's no street lights yet.
So you're rocking a very bare bones garage gym from what I saw in the post.
Yes.
Right?
Very, very bare bones. My weight bench is actually a piece of carpet from my
like Rocky IV there.
Yeah, I'm doing floor benches, man. It's rough.
That's
because
tough to do.
I gotta be careful because it's coming down like I'm like, oh, and I gotta put it behind.
Watch
my
your
head.
Face and your back.
I do. Yeah. So it's
episode 69 was Juan Miguel Rosa.
There you go. Juan. I think I love hearing the names. When you all
I love
like, Juan's awesome. Like, man.
Oh, I know him. Or I know of him.
Yeah.
That's
another guy right there. Perfect example. This dude's an amazing artist.
Yes.
Like amazing.
Yeah.
Oh my God. He's JR Designs, I think is his Instagram.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, you know, I need to hit him up. I told him when I get my house, I'm going to hit you up for some artwork.
Messaged him a couple of days ago, actually.
I'm messaging him right now.
Yeah. Message him.
You feel very inspired. And then I'm like, okay, what can I talk about on my inner? I'm a school teacher. Woo! And I collect certain things. And when Husfar asked me, I said, well, I told my wife, she's like, what are you going to talk about? I said, well, so I'm going to talk about the importance of this group for me briefly and really kind of put people over that I love following and hearing stories in the group. Because as a teacher, we get that energy from our students. So like, you know, because we don't get paid a lot, obviously, but there's a lot of teachers in the group. So every time someone posts about it, it's like we have our own little sub, like, oh, yay, it's testing season. Yay, type thing. It's our WrestleMania season coming up with state testing, you know, but finish the story. And no one knows it because I don't know if you guys have had people on who work with kids or whatnot, but not a lot of my students watch wrestling.
We've had a few.
I know that we have.
Oh, yeah.
It's
I just can't think of it. Right now.
My brother's a teacher. Mm-hmm. So I was gonna say you're an English teacher, aren't you?
I have been. I'm the Ricky Steamboat of teaching. I can do anything. I've done everything. I've taught every subject. I'm currently a math teacher right now.
You've been in like what's considered one of the greatest teacher mania matches ever.
Yes, I have. Yeah. Mr. Savage. Against Mr. Steamboat McCormick, and we mapped out everything of that lesson, and we paint a picture. You know, that's what we do. It's always I always love when people come on and you have like an idea of who they are because they know their names because Brian or Matt talk about it. And then you hear the real story, and whether you get into it right away or the people are kind of shy and then they kind of dig into it. You know, like I was like going in, I was like, how the heck? I was like, I didn't know the previous guests before this episode. I'm like, I swear to God, if it's Chris Grocock, I swear to God, I am not going to win this.
Censor him,
like,
Billy.
Well, we have had him on.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was like, dude, like, how do I top that? You know,
What a great guy he is, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it is something that we, even though I've never been to a show, I know that if I went to a show, met you fine gentlemen, that you don't feel that awkwardness.
No.
You know, that I think all humans feel at a certain point.
I'm awkward. It takes a lot.
But it's funny you say that and about Chris Grocock, because literally just at Live 18, the day before the show, I got there, I was kind of walking around and somebody was wearing a Matt Cardona hat, and I noticed him, and I was like, oh, you know, I don't know who it was. And I didn't want, you know, I'm just by myself and roaming around it when I'm, you know, hey, what's up? You know? So I just kind of walk over and I see him. He's coming. He's like coming over to me. I'm like, oh shit. I don't know who it is. So, he's like, hey man, what's up? What's up, Jake? I'm like, hey. And he's like, you don't know who I am, do you? And I was like, and he's like, you even had me on your show and you don't even recognize me. And I'm like, and then now I'm freaking out. I'm like, oh my God, dude.
Am I this big of a jerk?
I felt so bad.
Like worse than a girl you dated in college or had a little flame.
I dated a girl who was in college.
That's two of them. But at the same time. But, you know, so I was just like, you know, I was like, man. I felt so bad, and I'm looking at him and I'm like, yeah, I can't, like, it's not ringing any bells. And he's like, Chris Grocock. And I'm like, what? And I'm looking at him like, no, you're not, dude. But what it was, he had glasses on in his picture. And like in real life or right there, he wasn't wearing his glasses. And I'm like, it threw me off so bad. I'm like, oh, we ended up, you know, we went into, whatever that place was, Tin Roof,
whatever.
And yeah, and, you know, hung out. We ended up hanging out all night, and a bunch of major marks showed up. It was cool, you know. But it's just one of those things. Like, you don't know, like how people are going to be. But like, he was so cool about it. But like, I felt like initially, I just felt so bad because it's like, you know. But at the same time, there's, you know, anywhere between 1,500 to 2,000 people in this group, and any one of them can show up. And you know, I don't expect every single person to know my name or. You're that guy, or they, you know, it's just like, especially in real life, because, you know, lighting's different and, you know, whatnot. You know, it's just, it's crazy.
Whatnot?
It's lighting's cool that,
as he's taking a sip.
This is fine liquid. I think, like, you know, Sal Devalis, I think he's a gentleman mm-hmm. that posts about the Major Fitness Challenge.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
But I love going strong.
Dude, so inspiring, man.
Great dude.
So inspiring.
You know, I love Sal.
funny thing I found out, Hot Rod guy, AJ.
Yeah.
He is a goalie coach, a hockey goalie coach.
Yes,
and he coaches the Pittsburgh Penguins backup goalie.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, like, whoa, like just those things, those little pockets of you connect. You're like, Like I didn't know Joe Shoes was a Pittsburgh guy.
You're right.
And he would comment on, you know, the Penguins playoff runs, and I would always comment on his Instagram. And when I saw him do the Jager retirement, I was like, there you go. Like that's the cool stuff. When people go from like having a generic picture on their Facebook profile to now showing their face.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, that's cool. Like that's like that, like what we wish existed for us wrestling fans in the 90s, that our love was kind of vilified by the you know, society because we were doing the moves on the people. But it's like, it's the art form that we enjoy. It's it's the storytelling. It's the idea that we may see something on TV for free that we had to pay for, you know, type of like in the attitude there. But it's like, that's kind of the cool, that's the best part, my favorite part of the group. For every once in a while, you have these little dust ups or whatever. Humans, it happens. But at the end of the day, it's like you really enjoy when people are able to be comfortable with each other.
Yep.
And I think that's, if anyone came in, I know we have some newer people coming in every, you know, couple weeks, like you do that. Like I always try to welcome them. A lot of people do. I think that's a really cool thing to, it's like the first day of school. And you want to make, like when you walk in the cafeteria, you know, type thing. And, you know, you guys do a great job. It's so cool to give us a platform, you know, because you guys were fans yourselves and you took a chance.
Oh, yeah.
I was just actually listening to the podcast. I re-listened to the podcast. Being a teacher, you do a lot of great.
I saw you post this. Yeah.
Yeah. And I listened to going back and I love, you know, the hindsight. And I just recently listened to the episode where the boys put you guys over officially as the Pod Network. And that anniversary of like gaining that trust and showing that you have something here that is worth listening to, that can be a value to the Pod family and the brand. And I was like, wow, that was a couple of years ago. And then when I was asked, I was like, oh, I got to put this on my resume. I don't know what to do here. This is pretty impressive. I've been on the local news for baseball before, but not like this. This is bigger type thing, but
maybe it's some sort of big within this community. And that's good enough for us. Anywhere else, it means nothing. But like for this
you guys do a tremendous show. Like I said, not try to fluff you up, like I, you know, put you over earlier. But it's always a fun listen, and you guys we're very thankful. You know, even though you may not get that, everyone needs to hear that, because when people do good things, I think you need to show appreciation. And I'm sure people who've been on here have done the same, so it's not the first time you've heard it. But I think it's very important to acknowledge that, because, you know, you get lost sometimes in the things, and you want to know, like, this is a collecting, this is a fun hobby to do. And it's just kind of cool to see the growth. And, you know, it's a fun time. It's a fun time in the collecting world. And if unless you're a Bret Hart fan, and when you say these faces, and you're just like, God, I wish I knew how to customize and like, fix these problems. How hard is it, type thing? But it's always cool to talk to fellow collectors.
For sure.
You know, and it's going to be amazing to see what you guys can do a year from now and what this grows, because like, look at all these things happening that are having toys, and it's toys.
It's funny you say that, because I mean, when we've talked about this a million times, but you know, when we first started out, we were like, oh, if we could get Matt, Mark, and Brian on here, that's our goal.
Oh, that'd yeah, that was our goal.
Yeah, you know, within 10 episodes, 10 or 13 or something like that,
Brian was a little later.
He was like just 11 for scheduling or 12, reasons. Whatever. Yeah. But I was like, wow, okay, done. And then you know, we move on, and you know, we've had so many amazing guests, and then now, you know, we're part of the network. That was like the main goal. I never thought we were going
to. We never thought we were going to ever.
Yeah, that's the goal we'll never get.
Yeah.
But you know, we'll shoot for it. It's like, you know, I want to, you know, win the world title at WrestleMania. That's my goal. We'll never get there. Well, here we are, and it's like, okay, and you know, Billy's actually working for the Pod now, and you know, Husfar is in cat. Like, I'm the only one not doing anything.
You know? I was gonna when we follow these individuals, and several individuals in the group, including Husfar, like they're going for it, and I'm like, man, if I could go back, you know, in my mid 20s or
dude,
late 20s.
Every time I see Huskar, I think the same thing. I know I would do it now.
You could do it now. You're not too old.
Not with these hips, pal. But
those hips don't lie.
Sounds like an excuse, pal.
It's like the face is 20, but the hips are 80. I tell you that. Yeah, my legs are like 90. I tell you that.
Yeah, but
I was told that you're never too old.
Oh, I'm not.
I mean, look at these guys who are in the WWE who are like becoming these superstars. LA Knight, like they're 40. 40 years old. 40.
He's also been wrestling for.
Well, but Billy, you're killing the hope, Billy.
He's from Hagerstown, Maryland, which is an hour from where I grew up.
Yeah.
Very cool. But to kind of go back, I mean, where do we see ourselves in a year from now? I mean, you know, what are our goals? Anything like that? Like, honestly, I just want to keep doing what we're doing.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I don't think I have any more goals for MWO. Maybe some more merch, you know, and throw some cool stuff out there for everybody. But having a safe place for major marks to come out and share their story. I mean, I think that's the number one.
How many other podcasts do that? That's kind of the thing now. Like people do the rewatches or do the fan casts, Boys World, Ned's the Classified, do those like fan cast type things.
But
how many like have a brand that off branches off the main one that gives a voice to the fans?
Yeah.
I imagine for any Star Wars fan, if you were a Star Wars fan and you got a chance to be invited onto a fan podcast, a podcast about a podcast, as Broski would put it when you guys started, it's like you would pinch yourself. It's like is you're part of that canon now. So when I once I knew it was legit Huskar, not some Indian dude or trying to take advantage of money or me or something, I was like,
comes after the
end. Yeah, I know, that's right. But the happy ending comes later.
Now I'm going to hound you for days.
I know, and I'm like super private on Facebook. I get former students all the time, and I'll say, you guys, listen, until you graduate high school, I could still be your teacher one day, and then, once you're done, and, you get those posts of former students, and now they have kids, and you're like, gosh, okay, we're gonna go that far. But
where's the time gone? Right.
I love how you guys kind of like you live in the moment, but you're also like it's the micro. I talked to with my own students, the micro picture and the macro picture. Your micro picture is day to day, so you have enough to satisfy that creativity, but you're not losing track of the macro picture where you're like, you don't want this to become a job. You want this to be fun.
Right.
And I think that's for a lot of people who are now taking that chance in the group, going to wrestling school or pursuing a new career, and how they can put that out there in the group. And everyone's like, let's, go for it. Like, I swear to God, when Shawnee Caulfield first joined the group, I was one to sell houses. He was putting it over like being a real estate agent. I was like, this sounds fun. Like, and I was like, so it's like, it's always like, I love learning about that. Because as a teacher, we don't really have a lot of fun stories that we can tell, because.
Well, you gotta be reserved and.
Yeah, you can't really, like, I have my own little nook in my room of Bret Hart Jax figures. Basically, all the least expensive Bret Hart figures I have in my collection are at my classroom.
Right.
The most expensive ones don't even come close, and some Lego brick heads of Star Wars. But I never have done that until I started listening to the podcast, kind of exposing myself. Well, that sounds like a Michael Scott thing here, but
exposing ourselves.
Yeah, but it's what you guys do and what the boys do is, it's so helpful. So, I don't want to take more of y'all's time. I tend to ramble too much. And
no, all right. Yeah, we'll start to wrap up, but no, go ahead and finish your.
No, I think you guys, like I said, I it's been a pleasure, and I appreciate you guys taking the time. I appreciate Huskar being real and not trying to scam me for money. That's kind of the coolest thing.
Hasn't happened yet, pal.
Just out of curiosity, because I'm not caught up. Who was the guest before me?
It was God. Our previous one, we had someone lined up. So we did a podcast about a podcast, but before
that's right. Yeah.
The real podcast about the podcast
was Nicholas Jones.
Nicholas Jones.
Okay. Yes. Know the name.
Yeah.
You have the name under the major podcast. Like, oh yeah, Nicholas.
And
yeah.
Full disclosure, I've been so busy lately. Like I don't even talk to these guys except for on Mondays when we're about to record. I'm like,
I text Jake during the week and then it'll text me Monday, like 2 days later.
I'm sorry.
My favorite parts, every now and when you guys get mentioned on the main podcast, they talk about you guys disbanding or doing your Wolfpack or this. And I'm like, what did I miss? I'm trying episodic TV. I'm like, stuff, I gotta go back.
Yeah. They haven't talked about that lately, have they?
No.
But I re-listen. I'm up with the current product with you guys and them. But then I'm also, I'm on December. I think
last time Matt talked about me, he thought I was dead because
I went to his show.
Yeah, I went to his show down in Fort Myers here. And he was like, I thought Jake Wyatt was dead.
Jake Wyatt's alive.
He's alive.
The best was in the first Orlando, and like Jake was feeling good, and then Billy's like talking to Jake, like it seemed to like aggressively
something
like,
else I don't know, was going loud. On
and then Matt's recording. I turn around
and
I'm like, what's happening? I turn around, Matt's recording, and it's like MWO is breaking up. Like dying laughing, but at the same time I'm concerned.
No, me and Jake were completely fine. We were going over something else that had happened.
Funny. It was just so funny.
That was one of the last things I remember.
And Matt just like, "I'm breaking up."
Who gets custody of Husfar?
Use that footage because I think they realized, like, oh, what if there was a problem? We don't want to put that on.
Yeah. They were very respectful.
Yeah,
good. And I think that's it. It's like a two-way street, right? When respect is given, you give it, and the people will give it back to you, and that's kind of the key. And everything,
you're right. So
absolutely.
But no, man. This was a lot of fun. This is, you know, every episode, you know, ends up, you know, being fun, but like, you know, for me,
this was legit.
You know, and you talk about our goals and like, where are we going, you know, after, you know, whatever, you know, a year from now or, it's episodes like this that like end up having extra meaning to me because like I said earlier, we've never really interacted.
No.
And we still had such a great positive experience.
I behave in the Facebook groups. I've never been called to the principal's office. So I'm good. David C never busted me and I actually bought I remember a funny quick story. I remember on Macari, we talked about Macari. And David C had the Bret Hart Bash at the Beach figure, mint on card.
Nice.
And I was like, wait a minute, David C, is this the David C? He's like, absolutely. I was like, oh. So like my first, like before I would buy from Brian on whatnot, I bought a few of his things every time. My first like pod purchase was this Bash of the Beach figure from David C. Anderson. I was awesome. Oh, I love your work. And I felt like awestruck. I'm like, this guy
that's cool, though.
You know, he's from Iowa. He's just a normal gent like me and has kids and whatnot. And I was like, Brandon, what are you doing, dude? Like, it's just a figure. But it's like, that was like when you get your name in the paper, when you're a kid, you play sports and you get your name in the paper, you're like, that is so cool.
Everyone can see. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Hey, ladies, you see my name in the paper when I had three doubles and whatnot? And, you know, and it's like, I remember my
three
dad
would cut over, but don't worry about that.
Yeah, exactly. That was our Facebook was cutting. My dad would cut out my name and have a scrapbook, and I would have it out when my cousins would, hey, cousin Chris, you see my name in the paper 15 times?
It gets hung on the wall.
Exactly.
I can't wait till Thanksgiving. I'm going to show everybody.
Exactly. But that's kind of like, that was like my first kind of like, I've liked all of your posts. I've made comments and whatnot. And but I, you know, I've never, like I said, I'm very chill. I'm kind of very reserved.
You know, and it's just, you know, it's just the way it goes sometimes. You know, we've just never developed, you know, a relationship where, you know, we like talk.
Yes.
You know, we're constantly comment or, you know, and it's not that there's any reason why, it just hasn't happened.
Yeah.
But again, because of that and the episode just going so well and just great, real fun conversations and it's the exact reason why we do this.
Yes. Yeah, it's cool. I'm looking at the time. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's like Royal, it's like Ric Flair Royal Rumble territory.
Yeah. Fun. So,
you know, but no, I appreciate y'all, your boys having me. And
oh, absolutely.
Like I course, said, the bro. Best wishes, no pun intended, because that's like phrase we hey, put over know, in the group. True. And yeah, exactly. Major, my family laughed to go like, how do you listen to the podcast over? I said, you know, what's fun for me is that when the boys say things or when you guys say things, you know, a year ago, and they come to fruition, whether the intent is to put it out in the universe or not, it's there. And you're like, hey, didn't they say something about this like a year ago or 6 months ago? And, you know, like now it's like, look where you are now. And that's kind of like, you know, to anyone who is a part of the group, that's kind of like, it's cool to hear those stories because, you know, a year ago, look where everyone was at 2 years ago and everyone ups and downs, but they're still kind of moving forward. And that's like anyone who's new to the group, that kind of would be like the message, like, you know, we're all the same, you know, in some way. You know, we all have our favorites, not our favorites. And I think no one likes Mojo. I think that used to be a catchphrase in the group Mojo sets.
That's true.
but it's just really cool to, like I said, to be a part of the family. We're the kind of this extended family and honored to be your guest. I can't wait to hear. I probably won't listen to this. So I'll probably like have my family listen to it and whatnot. So I'll say hi to my beautiful wife, Heidi.
I don't listen to my episodes. Awesome.
Yeah, I got to put over my kids.
Hello, Brandon's family.
Yeah, hi, Brandon's family.
Oh, look at that guy.
Enjoy.
Heidi, my beautiful Latina wife. My
Heidi.
Mary Grace, Mateo, and Milena, my beautiful children. They're the reason I don't have more of these. Yeah. Because, you know.
That's one of the very few good reasons.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
Literally.
Great absolutely. Excuse to not.
Yes, but
you're saving them money and investing in your college education in the future.
Right now.
Yeah, I was going to
talk about Billy, on the podcast.
Billy, I'm going to be in the principal's office seeing that. Like, Jiminy Cricket. Like, not to go and take more time and go off a tangent, but how? Like, listen, Macho Man, they get Macho right for the most part. They get Hogan right. These
it took
gentlemen.
A while for Macho.
Yeah, but I'm like, Brett.
Oh, that
like,
was
Brett.
Yeah.
Like, as a Bret Hart completist, you have that figure, the Monday Night one, for those who didn't see on that Billy showed. And then you have the Coliseum collection coming out in
which
10
I
days.
Really, really want.
I love that, but I'm like, oh, God.
I know
face again. The anvil is the top notch. The anvil
is perfect.
Great, best anvil ever going
to
be.
I might have to pop a head off of one of the old Bretts and pop it on. Maybe like the first Ultimate or like.
I've seen influencers that I follow on Instagram do that. The two Ultimate Bretts, especially the second Brett with the hair more slick back.
Oh, the full pink.
Yeah. That's
that one works. Head. Yeah, that one's probably like one of the better newer ones. Yeah, but it sucks that we have to do that.
Yeah, so every 2 months I just mentally prepare when there's a release and I'm like, oh, go in the group. Okay, here we go. You know, I don't have a wrestler that no one like. I feel like there's certain wrestlers they always get correct, and my guy's not one of them. And I'm like, that's okay. Story of Brett's life, you know, for me and being a fan of him. But yeah,
Goldberg's fault.
Yeah, exactly. Oh.
Brett screwed Brett.
We don't need to get into that thing. It's kind of become a little funny, maybe also a little annoying, but whatever.
I'm like, Brett, I love you, man. Come on, bro, please. Like, I've been divorced. I'm divorced, and I love my ex-wife more than Brett loves Goldberg. I think I'm like, easy, Brett. Come on, man. Like, come on. Like, it's so difficult. Like, that's being a Bret Hart fan, and you're just you go with it, you know, and
yeah.
At least I don't know. God bless him. I've never met him. He's like kind of my top. I'm meeting the boys, meeting you guys at a live event. It's easier, I think, than getting Bret Hart, because he comes from Canada, and some others, you know, like Shawn Michaels and whatnot, who's in my top five. But I often wonder when people come to these things, like, what do they pick and how they pick what to sign and whatnot. And I think a lot of times I love when people post that in the group. That's another benefit of the group, not to put over the group more, but to have that outlet. Hey, I'm going to see Sting, like Husfar was mentioning earlier, like, what figure would look best? I would like hearing your opinion. And it's a tremendous outlet. I mean, what else do you have, like, to be able to reach out to like a bunch of brothers and sisters hey, you know, and you know, and then you get the smart aleck one, oh, okay, never mind you, you know, type thing. But the rest of you, I didn't hear from you. But you know, you guys are doing a bang up job. I really appreciate the opportunity, the time, and sorry to keep you up so late here. But
no, you're good.
Not at all.
Had a great time.
All
we had good. A great time.
All right. Well, Husvar, take us out.
Play my best there is, best there was, best there ever will be music. I got Galoom, a Hasbro Dusty. I got the merch that drives the marks, while the ring-worn gear, they wanna wear it. H-A-R-D, just like Blue Chew, I'm just a major mark.
Major mark.
I'm not a toy boy.
Toy boy.
I'm just a major mark.
Major mark.
I'm not a toy boy.
Toy boy.
Claim all the figs. Claim all the merch. Like Super Gabby. You already know the Michael Jordan. And Scottie Pippen. With Phil Jackson. Always scratching that itch. I'm just a major mark.
Major mark.
I'm not a toy boy.
Toy boy.
I'm just a major mark.
Major mark.
I'm not a toy boy.
Toy boy.
Hey, all you major marks. Claim all that merchandise.